You are listening to Radio Aryan.
Welcome to Aryan Britannia. Today's date is Monday, the 8th of October, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAryan.com. Unfortunately, we don't have Max Musson with us today. He's actually caring for an injured relative. Hopefully, we'll have him back for next week. But we do have lots of interesting content for you today. We're going to be particularly looking at the logistics behind the invasion. Of course, we often talk about the violence that is perpetrated on white people by the invaders, how none of that violence could ever occur if they weren't here. All those white people would be still healthy and alive that have been murdered by them. But what we're going to talk about today is everything else that goes along with it. The cost of putting up with these people that are here, particularly the housing cost. The government is releasing thousands of acres of greenbelt land for developers to concrete over as a population boom driven by mass immigration exacerbates a surging demand for housing. So England, that has always been known as that green and pleasant land, thousands of acres of it is now going to be concreted over just so that we can have more Negroes here. As if anybody has ever said, you know what this green and pleasant land could do with? More Negroes, more slums, more graffiti, more drug dealing gangs, more grooming gangs, more rape gangs, more intertribal warfare and stabbings. That's what we need. And we don't just need it in the suburbs, we don't just need it in the cities, we want to concrete over the forests and put it all there. We want to have a nice Negro ghetto where that forest once was. Of course, they keep saying that we need to have all these new houses that are built, but they never draw the link and say that it's all these houses are only needed so that we can put non-whites in them. White people don't produce enough children to replace the people that are already here. So that means that there is more than enough houses for the white people that are here in this country. We don't have to build any more houses for the white people that are here. Every single one of those new houses that needs to be built is going to be built for somebody who has no business even being here. Their ancestors aren't buried here. Their ancestors did not pay with their own blood to secure the island from the rest. They just come here as freeloaders to take what our ancestors bequeathed to us. The trustees, the government, they are the people that are acting in the role of trustees. They are the ones that hold all that wealth that was created by our ancestors through their sacrifices. They are the ones that hold all of that wealth in trust for us and for our descendants. It is supposed to be spent wisely on our descendants and not upon us. And what have the government done? The government have just handed over the keys to it to foreigners. We even have foreigners that are in government now advocating for their own people. The Home Secretary, Sajid Javid, who recently, the other day at the Conservative Party conference, decided to praise Diane Abbott simply because she was black. How wonderful Diane Abbott is. Possibly the worst ever shadow Home Secretary we have ever had. And he's praising her simply because she's black. That's where his loyalty is. His loyalty is to other foreigners. How can these traitors put a man like that in power? We shouldn't be ruled over by anyone that is not of our own race. I mean, that's a Christian law, that we should not be ruled over by anyone that is not of our own country. And if we do become ruled over by someone that is not of our own country, then we are to expect there will be no justice. There will be no justice for the poor, no justice for the orphan, no justice for the widow. and we will have brought it all upon ourselves. And we have brought it all upon ourselves. They are white people that are in the government that have done this to us. It's our own traitors that have done this in cahoots with the Jews and the Muslims. The Negroes themselves haven't got the brains to think of doing anything like this. They're just used as the shock troops. Anyway, continuing with this article here, a record 12,350 acres were carved out from the Greenbelt, which was designed to protect Britain's countryside from urban sprawl, in the year up to March the 31st, with around 25,000 acres lost since 2012, according to the Daily Mail. Now, that Greenbelt was designated as Greenbelt because it was supposed to never, ever be built upon. They said, we are going to have to put a stop to all this building, because if we continue to do this building, we will lose the beauty of the British countryside. The British countryside is amazingly beautiful. It's the most beautiful country in the world. Driving around rural areas of Great Britain is just an absolute pleasure, driving through the valleys, looking at the rivers, looking at the trees, looking at the ancient woodlands. And they want to do away with that. They want to concrete over it so that they can provide more houses for foreigners who hate us. I mean, this is a crime of epic proportions that they want to do this. At the same time as talking about climate change agreements and not chopping down forests in the Amazon, they want to chop down the forests in Britain just so that they can concrete over them. I don't understand how they can do this without actually breaking any laws, because those laws were put in place to protect the Greenbelt. Yet, of course, it's the holy Negroes that need more houses, so we'll just do away with those laws. The government must stop heaping pressure on councils to deliver unrealistic targets that result in the Greenbelt being chipped away, complained Rebecca Pullinger, planning campaigner for the Campaign to Protect Rural England, which claims to have identified plans for an astonishing 460,000 houses on land released from the Greenbelt already. Half a million. Half a million houses for half a million non-white families. That's who they are intended for. Instead, developers should be held more accountable to deliver the homes that they have promised. Building within or on land released from the Greenbelt is not the solution. It results in low-density, unaffordable homes, Pullinger added. And it also destroys the beautiful British countryside. And it's only the white race that truly appreciates the British countryside. If you go to any national parks, you won't see any non-whites there. You won't see any non-whites walking around Dartmoor or walking around Exmoor. You'll only see white people there because it's only white people that have a sense of beauty. It's only white people that appreciate it. The only time you'll see Negroes there is if they're fly tipping. When you drive past somewhere and you see a load of dirty old mattresses and fridges, well, that's a foreigner that dumped that there. It wouldn't be a white man that's dumping it there. The white man would take it to the dump. He'd take it to the tip. Foreigners deliberately drive out from the cities to just dump their rubbish off. They have no appreciation of the beauty. They just want to make money. Why would they be interested in stepping back and looking at the beauty of the world? They just want to be making whatever money they can. They've even said this. There's been Indians that have said this. Why would they be interested in the British countryside? They want to be opening up their corner shops on Sundays and all hours of the day and night so that they can take advantage of the fact that the white man doesn't want to do that. So they've won, basically, haven't they? If they're saying we're going to concrete over the Greenbelt and build 460,000 houses for them, again, this is just another way that the foreigner is winning. And we're just giving up on our laws, giving up on our heritage in order to please him. Britain's left liberal opposition parties, well, I would say that it's not just the left liberal, the right opposition, the right party that's in power is left liberal as well. There's no difference between the Labour Party and the Conservative Party when it comes to immigration, free speech violations and elevating the invader to a privileged status. There's no difference between them at all. Britain's left liberal opposition parties, including the hard left Labour opposition, have criticised the Tories for housing shortages, but neither they nor the CPRE seem willing to address the root cause of the issue, which is the country's immigration-driven population boom. It's entirely down to the invasion. As I said, it's entirely down to the invasion because we aren't producing enough white people to replace ourselves. A spokesman for the UK Independence Party told Breitbart London, "Typically, mass migration is ignored as a driver of the destruction of our precious Greenbelt. According to Migration Watch, 82% of UK population growth is down to migration." UKIP accused the political left of wanting it all: open borders, uncontrolled immigration, housing for all, and environmental protection. They can't have that. How can they be protecting the environment if they're building 500,000 homes on the Greenbelt? The spokesman said, "It's impossible fantasy politics which fails to see the bigger picture due to the myopia of political correctness." That is what's going on. They can't actually speak about the root cause of there not being enough houses, because that would be a hate crime, wouldn't it, to be saying that it's actually down to all these non-whites that have been let into the country. That's why the Greenbelt is being destroyed. That would be a hate crime, wouldn't it? The Tories, despite their normal status as a centre-right party, have also proved largely unwilling to address the link between housing issues and immigration. Although former Housing Minister Dominic Raab, now Secretary of State for Brexit, did recently admit that the incomers have pushed up house prices by at least 20%. That's the other thing that this has done. Nobody can actually afford to buy a house anymore because there is such a shortage of houses due to immigration. Nobody in London can afford to buy a house in London. People that live in the rural areas of the country, people that have lived there, whose families have lived there for centuries, they're unable to buy houses either, because the people in London that do own houses, where the price of them has gone up so much, they're able to buy second houses. So they have second houses in beautiful places in Cornwall and in Wales and in the country. So the white people that actually live there, that have lived there all their lives, they're unable to buy a house there. They end up having to move into the cities and share the ghettos with the non-whites, the council ghettos, because that's the only place that they can actually afford. And Boris Johnson, he did actually speak about housing at the Conservative Party conference recently, and he said, we need to build more houses, people can't afford to buy their houses. But again, the nothing about the fact that it's non-whites that's actually driving this. And the fact that these houses keep going up in price, I mean, that's now also down to inflation, it's down to usury, and they talk about affordable housing. Affordable housing, which is basically houses that are going to be given to Negroes on estates. And that basically implies that you have a lot of unaffordable housing, which is quite clearly what we do have. We have what they want, I think, in the end, is everybody renting, especially in the cities. They want everybody to be renting a place. And of course, then you've got these big landlords that own lots of houses and flats, and most of the people that are actually renting them are on housing benefit. So it's actually the council that is paying these people, the landlords, for the rent, and it's the taxpayer that's paying them. So they say we need to build these houses. It's good for the economy. It's going to provide lots of jobs, but building all these houses for the Negroes to live in. But what they don't tell you is that all the Negroes that live in them are also going to be on housing benefit, and it's your taxes that you pay that are going to be paying the rent for these Negroes to be living in these houses. It doesn't matter which way you look at it. Immigration does no benefit whatsoever to the country that's being invaded. Dominic Raab has also confessed that of an estimated extra 5.3 million new properties which will be needed over the next 5 years, almost half will go to migrants, meaning an extra home will need to be constructed every 5 minutes. Well, he's still being dishonest there, isn't he? Because he's only admitting that half of them are going to go to migrants. is actually 100% of them. It has to be 100% of them because we're not producing enough white children to replace ourselves. So there are enough homes for all those white children. If you move forward 20 years, every one of those white children has got a home that they're going to be able to move into because there's been 20 years there for the elderly people that live in their homes to die off. I guess what Dominic Raab is doing there is he's deceitfully claiming that half of it's going to go to migrants and these other black and brown families that the other half are going to are probably first or second generation migrants. We know how they like to pretend that once somebody's been given British citizenship, they're no longer foreign, they're no longer a non-white, even though your eyes tell you immediately when you see them that they're not British. They don't look anything like Brutus. If they're not white, then they can't be British because they don't look anything like Brutus. And that's what the word British means. It means to look like Brutus. Brutus was a Trojan prince, which I'm sure most of you are already aware. The extra 5.3 million new properties are needed as the UK's population continues to boom. I wouldn't say it's booming. The country is sinking under the weight of the invasion. Up to 2.4 million houses will go to migrants, the Department for Communities and Local Government claimed, although 100% of them will be going to non-whites. Over the next 22 years, therefore, Britain will need to house up to 243,000 new households every year, a quarter of a million new households every year, according to the statistics. Net migration accounts for an estimated 45% of this growth. And obviously, as I said, the other 55% is from the non-whites that are already here. These figures were presented to the House of Lords in response to a question put by Lord Green of Deddington, chairman of Migration Watch, which campaigns for lower levels of migration. And Lord Green himself isn't even white. Lord Green told the Upper House, to put the point slightly more dramatically, that would mean building a new home every 5 minutes, night and day, for new arrivals until such a time as we can get those numbers down. I know there is a strong view in the House that there is a lot to be said for migration. All I am pointing out is that there are also costs. Just think of all that work that needs to be done. Every 5 minutes, a new house has to be built for a foreigner. And yet they tell us that immigration enriches the nation. It's actually good for the economy. It's not good for the economy. It's stealing the wealth that's been saved up by all the generations that came before us. These estimates are based on official population projections made in 2014. They do not take account of the vote to leave the European Union, which of course could see an end to European free movement and a reduction in net migration. I don't think it will. I don't think we are going to see a reduction in net migration. The Tory party are already talking about how it's not going to affect the migration figures. They know full well that the reason why the majority of people voted Brexit is because they saw that referendum as a proxy for a vote on migration. We want a stop to the invasion. We don't want any more immigration. Even UKIP at their recent party conference, when Gerard Batten started talking about migration and said, well, we need to have some migration, there was a shout from the audience, we don't want any immigration. And there was a big cheer for the person that said that. And it really couldn't be any clearer. Nobody wants any more migration into the country. And yet Theresa May, when she's doing her negotiations with the EU for Brexit, she's trying to arrange it so that there will still be European migration. And she's talking about how great it is because now we can allow in migration from everywhere else in the world. And that's what she was doing when she went to Africa. Instead of going to Australia and New Zealand and or South Africa and talking to the whites in South Africa and arranging that maybe we could take some of them if we have roles for surgeons or high scientific positions that we need. Instead of speaking to them, she went over to Africa and arranged to take their surplus Negroes, which is the last thing that we need any more of in this country. However, Migration Watch also points out that the projections are lower than the actual net migration numbers. and any new immigration controls are likely to be phased in after Brexit. Migration numbers could take years to fall, therefore. I mean, we're already fast approaching the tipping point just with the numbers of foreigners that are being born to the ones that are already here. And still, we don't have a politician that's brave enough to start talking about repatriation. The alternative for Deutschland Party in Germany, they are talking about re-migration, as they call it, sending some of them back. The alternative for Sweden, they are talking about sending some of the foreigners back. Even the Sweden Democrats have talked about it. But we haven't got any mainstream politicians over here in Britain that dare to talk about repatriation. And that used to be a very common buzzword, was we want to send them back. We want to repatriate. We don't want any more immigration. And yet today they talk about that as, oh, that's ethnic cleansing. That's ethnic cleansing. It's not ethnic cleansing. It's just sending back people that we don't want. How can anybody think that they have a right to just move to our country and live in it? We don't have a right to just move to India and live there, or move to Africa and live there and call ourselves African, Indian, or Chinese. It's not right. And it's not right that these people can do this over here. They claim that they came over here for work, like this Windrush generation supposedly came over here for work. Well, once the job's finished, you go back home. You know, if you travel for work around Britain, say you're a carpenter, and you travel off to a couple of hours away to go and do some work on a building estate somewhere, and you live in a hotel for a month. Once the job's finished, you go back home again. You don't expect to live there. You travel where the work is. And when we know that 80% of young Muslims aren't even in work, these people that came over here with that Windrush generation, most of them can't be in work either. They're just here sponging off us. They're just here continuing to suckle on that teat of the welfare state that's kept them in good health all these years. They need to go back. They need to go back. And this isn't even including all the illegal immigrants, the ones that have snuck into the country illegally, that have broken in by hiding themselves underneath lorries or threatening lorry drivers with knives to smuggle them into the country. These ones that have been coming in on the boats. I mean, we rarely hear about any boats that are actually caught coming into Britain. And that's because so many of them are just getting away with it. They have to be. It's not a very big distance between Dover and Calais. It can be travelled quite easily by boat. So there must be lots that are getting in like that. I mean, we see it happen in Spain. We see them just beaching their vessels on the beach and running up the beach right in front of the holidaymakers. I'm sure the same thing is happening on the east coast of England. The think tank, that's Migration Watch, also claims on their website that official labour force survey data shows that over the last 10 years, 90% of the additional households created in England were headed by a person born outside of the UK. Now, that's getting closer to the figures that I'm saying, isn't it? Yeah, 100% of all the new houses are there for foreigners. Well, according to Migration Watch, 90% of all the new households created in England are headed by a person born outside the UK. And in London, it is claimed that in the last 10 years, all of the additional households have been headed up by somebody born overseas. I mean, London is lost. London is now a foreign country. It is the equivalent of a foreign country within Britain. Foreign country run by a foreign mayor who thinks he thinks that he is actually running a sovereign country. He thinks he should be interfering in Britain's foreign policy when all he is the mayor of London and doing a very bad job of it. Anyway, that brings us to halfway through the programme. We'll have a little music break now. We're going to have a blast from the past. This is Screwdriver with Hail Victory, and this is for Anglo Falcon. And I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
You stand out from the crowd. with the love for your nation undimmed. Well, it seems that your country is crumbling, but you won't stand and let the enemy win. Your duty is to stand firm and steadfast, to stand proud and stand free is a must. You are the light in the darkness. You are the diamonds in the dust. You are the diamonds in the dust. Yeah, you are the diamonds in the dust. I said you are the diamonds in the dust. Keep coming back, but we won't go away. We'll never surrender, gonna win the day. They might as well give up, we'll never give in. They'll never beat us, cause losing is a sin. Hail, oh, hail victory. Hail, oh, hail victory. Who do these people think they impress? With their little red badges, peculiar dress, spouting beliefs. We all gonna die. How can they still believe the capital lies? Hail, oh, hail victory. Yeah, hail, oh, hail victory. Bears. Take a big brush, sweep the dirt out. They can try and hide milk, but we know it's about. Hail, oh, hail victory. Hail, oh, hail victory. Hail, oh, hail victory. Hail, oh, hail victory.
Okay, welcome back. That was Screwdriver and Hail Victory. And as I said just before the music came in, that was for Anglo Falcon, who has helped me out by finding the one and only file, actually, that I've been missing for the archives. As many of you will know, I've been re-uploading all the Radio Aryan files to our own archive after the Internet Archive decided to delete them all. And thankfully, I have got all of them. Well, I've discovered that I did have all of them, bar one Truthful Out Radio podcast, and thankfully he actually had it in his collection. So that will be back up in the archive when this podcast comes out. It's actually the first Truthful Out Radio to deal with Dennis Wise's new series, probably one that people would like to go back to refer to. So I'm very glad that he's found that. Anyway, that was why I gave him a shout out. So thank you very much, Anglo Falcon, for that. Well, let's get back to these logistics of the invasion, and in particular, the homes and the home building. The proportion of new homes which will go to the descendants of migrants was not identified. Now, this is what I've been talking about. It's not just the new arrivals that need houses. It's all the ones that have been here since the 50s and the 60s and all their descendants. That's what makes up the other portion, so that it's 100% of these homes are actually for foreigners. The proportion of new homes which will go to the descendants of migrants was not identified, but is presumably significant. As statistics show, 33.7% of babies born in England and Wales had at least one parent born outside the United Kingdom in 2016. So that means in 20 years' time, they're going to be at least 40% of the population. Non-whites are going to be 40% of the population. Something needs to be done about this now. It really needs to be done about this now. We cannot just keep putting it off and saying, well, we'll let the next generation deal with it. We have to deal with this right now. In some areas, however, the demographic transformation looks to be further advanced, with some 66.6% of babies born in London, the nation's capital, having at least one parent born outside the UK. So a lot of them are mongrels as well. They're going to be half white, half black, and confused and racially schizophrenic and extremely violent. This is another reason why we have all this violence in London, is because of all the half-breeds that are there. They don't have any loyalty to anyone. And that's what the globalists want to create. They want to create a people with no heritage, with no loyalty to their nation, with no loyalty to their ancestors, because they're much easier to manipulate. They can get them to identify with pop groups then, or football teams, or clothing companies. And they will all be of a low IQ and just consumers, and make a lot of money for the rich globalists that are behind all of this, that are causing all of this. The numbers represent a rise of 2.1% on 2015, despite an overall decline in births. Births to UK-born women, many of whom may be second, third, or fourth generation migrants themselves, fell by 1.1%. So the foreigners are increasing in their births by 2% a year. I wonder if that's going to go up to 4% in 2016 and 8% in 2017. I mean, this could be growing exponentially rather than just doubling each year. Foreign-born women were found to have a higher estimated total fertility rate, 2.06 children per woman, compared with UK-born women, 1.75 children per woman. And if you actually look at the lowest IQ Negroes in places like Somalia, they actually have eight children per woman. So these new arrivals, and that's where a lot of these new arrivals are coming from, they are likely to produce eight, while we're likely to produce one. And this is just a time bomb that's just waiting to go off. And it is starting to go off. It's gone off in London now. You think what it's like to be a white child going to school in London. Horrific. How are you supposed to identify with anyone? It's no wonder we have so many Wiggers, because they have to behave like Wiggers in order not to be bullied, not to be attacked. This is the reason why we have gangs that have whites in them as well as blacks, because if the whites don't join them, then they're going to get bullied and attacked themselves. You can't raise Negroes up to the level of the white man. All you can do is degrade the white man down to the level of the Negro. And this has been proved in America, where they bust white children in to go to the black schools so that every black kid had a white child next to them, because they thought that the white child would improve the education prospects of the Negro children. And all that happened is that the education standards of all dropped down to the level of the Negro. And our education standards have been continually dropping ever since then. You just look in Britain at the education standards. I recall doing a program a couple of weeks back about the exams and the exam marks, and how to get a D, you have to have something like 20% now. And to get a D, it used to be something like 60% or 70%. The standards have been continually dropping since the 60s or the 70s. And you can talk to people that are in their 50s, you know, people that didn't actually go to college, and they know more than somebody that went to university today does. Their education was better back then, when they only went to school to the age of 14, and they learnt more than youngsters who are just coming out of university today. All told, the non-UK-born population increased by 7% in 2016, from 8.6 million to 9.2 million. And this is displacing our people. The government will say, well, this is great because that's 9.2 million more people that are going to be, they're all going to need to get money from somewhere to live. So it's going to increase that money. It's going to increase the economy. But what they're actually doing by getting that money to live, they're taking it directly from white people. White people are being displaced. That's 9.2 million white people that have been displaced. We only have a finite amount of resources. Now, if that 9.2 million non-whites weren't actually here, then 92 million people's worth of resources would still be there for white people to make use of. It's like when they say, well, these non-whites, they all create businesses. Well, no, they take businesses from the white man. If they weren't here, it would be the white man that was creating that business and running that business. It doesn't make sense to think that there's any positivity whatsoever to immigration. The non-British population grew by 8%, from 5.6 million to 6 million, greater than the entire population of Scotland, roughly twice the population of Wales, and around three times the population of Northern Ireland. That's how much it grows in a year, greater than the entire population of Scotland. And when you think of how many MPs we actually have from Scotland, from the Scottish National Party, that really shows you a big problem that we have with our voting system as well, where we don't have proportional representation, because there really isn't, that shows you that there really isn't that many people in Scotland. If every year a greater amount of people than the entire population of Scotland are born to non-white parents in Britain, and this is shocking, we have a foreign army that's within the city gates that is being protected by the government, that is stealing the food from our babies' mouths, stealing our green belt, stealing our National Health Service, stealing our education. None of them have contributed anything to this whatsoever. All they are is a threat to us. They are a threat to the biological integrity of the ethnic nations that make up Britain. Every you know, when you're in a territory, if you're an animal and you move into the territory of a group, say a pride of lions, breeding rights come with that territory. You fight, the lions will fight to the death, and the one that wins has breeding rights with all the females in that territory. And this is the same for every kind of animal. Negroes coming to Britain, and the breeding rights come with the territory. They breed with the white women. The white women are not used to having people in their territory that they can't breed with. They think they can breed with whoever is in their territory, because the white males are supposed to keep out the people that aren't suitable for them to be breeding with. And we haven't done that. We haven't kept them out. We've allowed them to come into our country. So greater than the immediate threat of being murdered by them or being raped by them, you've got the threat to the generations to come, when your daughter picks herself a nice boyfriend that she thinks is white and he's actually 5% Negro. And your grandchild is no longer part of the same race as you. And you have more in common with the Queen of England than you do with your grandchild genetically. This threat outweighs everything else. And the threat of concreting over all the greenbelt and building over the land, I mean, that can be fixed. I mean, it's an environmental tragedy, but it can be fixed by planting new trees. But you can't fix a mongrel. Once that miscegenation has occurred and the child has been born, that's it. It can't be fixed. It's done with. But I've talked about that many times on other podcasts, so I'll continue with this. Poland was actually the most common country of birth for parents from overseas, with a resident Polish population topping 1 million. Well, that isn't so much of a problem, because if the Poles interbreed with the British, you're just going to get somebody who's white. It's the same as when the Anglo-Saxons came to Britain, when the Vikings came to Britain, when the Normans came to Britain. That isn't the problem. The problem is the non-whites. However, it is still behind the combined contribution of the countries which formerly comprised the British Raj, India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. So if you include India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh, there's more of them than the Polish population. See, this is one of the deceitful ways that they cover this up. Instead of saying that the most common country of birth for overseas is the former India, they say, oh, India is now three different countries. It's India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. So actually, Indians aren't the most common country of birth for parents from overseas when they are. You see, this is where they're not actually looking at this like race. If you were to be looking at it as race, I mean, you would say, well, non-whites and blacks are by far the most common parents that are in Britain from overseas, far outweighing the EU. And that Brexit vote, where they've said, oh, we want to stop the EU migration, it really isn't the European Union migration that people are worried about. It's the black and non-white migration. But we can't say that because then we'd be being racist. That's why that Brexit vote was a proxy vote against non-white immigration. And the people in power, they know that. The government know that. They're just choosing to ignore it. Theresa May is choosing to rub our faces in it by going over there to Africa, trying to make trade deals with Africa. Combined with immigration figures, which have risen to or remained near all-time record levels since 2010, despite the Tory government's pathetic pledge to bring it down to tens of thousands annually, the birth statistics suggest the United Kingdom will undergo a major demographic shift over the course of a generation. White Britons were already a minority in London at the time of the 2011 census and are also a minority in Leicester, Luton and Slough. It was previously projected that Birmingham, the country's second largest city, would be minority white British by 2020, but it may already be so, with immigration having been higher than expected. Well, how can it be higher than expected? We all expect it to keep getting higher. We expect the government to be traitors. We don't expect them to keep their promises. The Tory government have never kept their promise to bring it down to tens of thousands. Every year it increases. So how can they say it's been higher than expected? Fewer than one third of pupils in Birmingham's schools were white British as long ago as 2013. In some English towns, the change is even more acute, with an estimated 95% of pupils in one area of Blackburn, Lancashire, having a South Asian background. Government advisers have even suggested that white children may have to be bussed into such places in future in order to prevent total ethnic segregation. It's like parts of the body that have been taken over by a disease. It's like you've got gangrene in your leg and it's now taken over the whole leg and it needs to be cut off. But instead of cutting it off, what they're doing is they're just going to introduce more antibodies to it. They're just going to let it eventually take over the whole body. They're going to let the gangrene take over the whole body and extinguish the British nation. Just think of that. 95% of pupils in one area are non-white. And not just non-white, but they're all Indian. When it says they have a South Asian background, it means they are all Indian. So of course, they're not going to be speaking English. Why should they bother to speak English? Why should they bother to have any English customs whatsoever? This will be one of those no-go areas where white people can't go, where white people can't be seen at night because they'll be attacked. Well, let's have a look at what's actually happening in Birmingham. I've got a news story from Birmingham here. Cultural enrichment in Birmingham. Don't forget, Birmingham, they say, it is actually majority non-white now, but they're saying that it was definitely going to be non-white by 2020. Cultural enrichment in Birmingham. 10 Birmingham baby girls less than a year old have become victims of barbaric female genital mutilation. Something that you never, 10, 20 years ago, you never would have dreamt that this would have been going on British soil. sickening statistics revealed by the NHS showed that in just 3 months, city doctors recorded 10 new cases of babies who had undergone the harrowing procedure. Now, don't forget, we're told that this is something that Muslims do to young girls that are going through puberty, preparing them for marriage. Well, they're actually doing them to babies. They think babies are ready for marriage. That's how sick and twisted these people are. All were not yet 12 months old in cases uncovered between April and June this year. The shocking figures also revealed that 15 children aged between 1 and 4 were reported as female genital mutilation victims by Birmingham medics. In total, there were 140 new cases of the abuse in the city in those 3 months, according to data published by NHS Digital. In many cases, the ages of patients were not included, but of those recorded, most victims were between 5 and 9. FGM refers to procedures that intentionally alter or cause injury to the female genital organs for non-medical reasons. In some cultures, it is often carried out to preserve virginity or as a preparation for marriage. So these victims are between the ages of 5 and 9 are being prepared for marriage. So when we say Muslims are highly likely to be pedophiles, Islam condones pedophilia, there's the proof of it. There's the proof of it in this news story, where it says that young girls between 5 and 9 are being prepared for marriage by having their clitorises slitted with razor blades. And this isn't just going on in Africa. This is going on in Britain. Over in India, in Sri Lanka, there was a recent news story where they were campaigning to have it on the Sri Lankan equivalent of the NHS. And they were saying, well, this is a religious requirement. This is an Islamic religious requirement that we have female circumcision, and it should be available as part of the National Health Service. And all these Islamic organizations were signing this letter and demanding that the government provide this. And this is what's going to happen in Britain. They say, well, oh, well, it's illegal in Britain. Nobody's ever been taken to court for it. Nobody is sitting in jail for doing this. They have all these advertisements on the television and on billboards trying to say how terrible this is. And even on the advertisements, they don't even put brown people on there. They put a white girl on there. And recently, I think it was earlier this year, there was a big noise made about that, about the fact that they're so politically correct that they won't even put a brown girl on the advert to dissuade people from female genital mutilation. It has been illegal in the UK since 1985. Well, you would think that mutilating somebody else's body, mutilating your child's genital area, has always been illegal. I mean, is it not illegal to chop off your child's hand or chop off your child's foot? Surely it's illegal to chop bits of their body off. And apparently it was only made illegal in the UK in 1985. This is the thing. It's like when they say that, we need to have laws to prevent people from racism and being racist. Well, we already had laws in place to prevent incitement to violence. Why did we have to have special laws to protect non-whites from criticism? Because that's all those laws are. We have laws, perfectly workable laws that prevent the incitement to violence. The reason why they wanted to change these laws, incitement to racial violence, is because they wanted to silence people from talking about the facts. They wanted to silence people from criticizing immigration. So I guess that by there's probably something to do with the wording of this law in some way that actually protects the Muslims from being prosecuted, because they certainly haven't actually been prosecuted. They keep saying that there's all these cases of it going on, but nobody's ever been prosecuted for it, because that would be culturally insensitive to lock up the parents of these girls. Culturally insensitive to lock somebody up for destroying the genitals of a one-year-old child. In 2003, the law was strengthened to prevent girls travelling from the UK and then undergoing FGM abroad. Well, what they should be doing is not allowing them back into the country. But how are they going to test this? Are they going to investigate and look at these non-whites as they come into the country? It's a nonsense saying that it's illegal. We shouldn't have to make it illegal. We shouldn't have these people in our countries in the first place that carry out these barbaric activities. Let them do it in their own countries. Doctors in Birmingham are recording an average of 2 cases of FGM a day, with 74% of them recorded as new victims. So I guess they're going to see them when the mutilation goes wrong, when it hasn't gone quite right, and they go to see the NHS doctor to put it right. Across England, 1,015 new cases were recorded in the same three-month period, 40% of which were in London and 14% in Birmingham. Most of the women and girls affected were born in East and North Africa, where they underwent FGM before coming to Britain. But one of the things that they are doing now is they're actually importing these savages over from Africa so that they can do the slicing in Britain. Because of this law saying that it was making it illegal to take these girls over to Africa to get it done, what they're now doing is actually bringing these witch doctors over to Britain so that they can do it in Britain. And of course that means that if it does go wrong, then of course they can take them to their local general practitioner and get it seen to by the NHS. So once again, we end up having to pay for it. We end up having to pay for their barbaric practices that they do to one another. I mean, don't even get me started on the amount of disabled, physically disabled and mentally disabled Pakistanis there are because of all the inbreeding that they do and all the money that costs and all the disability benefits that go to them and how they always pass that disability benefit test because otherwise it would be culturally insensitive not to. They'd be accused of racism if they didn't actually hand out those disability benefits to those Pakistanis that are basically deliberately creating disabled children by interbreeding with their sisters and their cousins. Anyway, let's move on to the final news story for you today. I think we've just about got enough time. A 15-year-old boy was given detention after voicing his support for UKIP during a classroom debate, his father has claimed. Now, this is similar to a news story that I was talking about the other day where there was a child that was singled out by his teacher and the class was told that his parent wanted to deport all of them so that the kid was bullied by the other kids. We've also had a young girl that said that she dared to say that she liked Tommy Robinson when she was in college and she was kicked out of college. And now we've got a 15-year-old boy being given detention just for saying that he supported UKIP. And we heard about this on a phone-in at radio station LBC. A caller named Paul told host Nick Ferrari that his son had been punished after declaring that he would vote for the right-wing party, but he shouldn't be called racist. The caller said one boy said he'd vote for UKIP, and the teacher said, all UKIP voters are racist. So my boy came in and said, I'd vote for UKIP, and I'm not racist. Fair enough thing to say, you would have thought. But no, he was given a detention. And the three other boys that said it. And when he came home, he told me, and I didn't believe him. You would find it hard to believe that somebody would be given a detention simply for saying that they would vote for a mainstream political party. But this just shows you how left-wing and biased Britain's secondary schools are. Because the public schools aren't like this. The private schools aren't like this. It's only the secondary schools that are run by the state. Paul later phoned his son's head of year to complain about the incident, which Ferrari described as outrageous and absurd. UKIP leader Gerard Batten said, sadly, this is not a unique occurrence. UKIP people have told me that teachers have told their children that their parents belong to a Nazi party. It's happening because the teaching profession is under the domination of the extreme left, who are the real fascists in modern-day Britain. I wish Gerard Batten would stop calling the Antifa the real fascists. It's like they're both in competition of who can be the real Antifa. Are UKIP the real Antifa, or are the Antifa the real Antifa? They really should look at history and realize that fascism and National Socialism was formed in response to communism. It was formed in response to this extreme left wing that we see around us today, these Antifa groups. That's who the fascists were formed against. It was a response to that. I don't expect Gerard Batten to say, well, I support the fascists, but he really could call these people communists, which is what they are, rather than calling them fascists. He continues, parents must insist that the law is upheld in schools and teachers are not allowed to promote political agendas. It came after it was reported that Alyssa Cook Gray, 17, quit her college course after her tutor warned her that she was right-wing for supporting former EDL leader Tommy Robinson. So you can now be kicked out of college just for being right-wing. She claimed a teacher told her to get out. We don't want people with your views. And this was during a political debate. So there is no political debate anymore, is there? Political debates in school and college, it has to be all left wing. They can't actually have an opposing voice, because if you're an opposing voice, then you're a hater and a racist and a fascist and a Nazi, and you must be banned. A UKIP spokesman said, there is an increasing number of reports across the country of this behaviour by teachers against pupils who say that they support UKIP. He said the teacher in question was later reprimanded and the family received an apology from both the teacher and the school. And I bet this happens a lot, and I bet a lot of parents just wouldn't believe it. Just wouldn't believe that a child would be given a detention or kicked out of school simply for saying that they support a right-wing party. And I've said it once, and I've said it again, and I'll keep saying it. If you've got children, then you really should be teaching them at home. While we still have the right to homeschool our children, everybody should be making use of that and doing all they can to prevent their child from being brainwashed in one of these secondary schools. I mean, it was bad enough when I was there. It must be absolutely horrific now when half the pupils are non-white and everything is geared towards protecting them and keeping the white pupils down. Anyway, that brings us to the end of the podcast today. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget that we do require donations to keep the site going. We do have a Bitcoin wallet, and you can find a link to that at the bottom of every article. I think what I'm going to do is actually put a little piece about how you can buy some Bitcoin and donate to us. And I'm going to add that to the specific page that we have for donating to Radio Arium. So if you do want to help us out, if you can afford to help us out, then just buy us some Bitcoin and send us some Bitcoin, and it will be gratefully received. And also a big thank you to everyone who has sent us money. Hopefully Max will be back with us next week, but I will definitely be back with more of Arian Britannia. And of course, until then, I hope you all have a great week ahead of you.
Alternative to the anti-white system on RadioArium.com.